The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Proudly sponsored by Volkswagen. Volkswagen.ie.
Conor, you were writing about the parade in Dublin.
I was, yeah. I went to the parade. I was lucky enough to be invited by the St. Patrick's Festival people. So myself and all my family got to be in one of the grandstands, which is great because, to be honest, when you've got young kids, it's really hard to go to the parade unless you've got a proper view. So you have to either be there very, very early or get the fancy seats. So we were lucky enough to get the fancy seats.
And then
I was actually also working. So I was able to do both things. So I was able to spend some time with my family, and then I was able to write the colour piece for the parade.
And it was bright and sunny but cold.
Do you know what? This time, our last St. Paddy's Day, it was snowing. So I think any time when it's not lashing rain or freezing cold, it's a good day. And I've been covering the parade in various different guises since the mid-1990s when I started work on the Irish Times website. And I've covered the parade in short sleeves, and I've covered the parade in thermals. And I think Sunday was one of the good days because it was sunny and it was a little bit cold. But they do the parade extremely well. I mean, because sometimes parades in other places, they can just go on a bit long, and eventually you're just going, oh, enough of the brass bands, and like, please just stop. Whereas it seems to be the perfect length of time, you know, just before kids start getting bored and just before adults start dying of the cold
and wanting to go to the toilet.
Exactly.
But I'd say the time you were in the t-shirt was that when mad cow disease, because what happened that year was they had to postpone the St. Patrick's Day parade from March till early June.
No.
No. I can't imagine you were in short sleeves on the 17th of March.
Some of your listeners will be able to tell you. They'll be able to go back through the weather forecasts or the weather over previous years. But there's been a couple of really, really good years. And I never fail to marvel at how big a deal St. Paddy's Day is. Because actually, as part of... I had to write the big colour piece in the Irish Times yesterday. So as well as looking at the parade, I went and I decided I'd have a wander around Dublin, and I had a wander through Temple Bar. And I'd never been in Temple Bar on St. Patrick's Day before in my entire life. And I swear to God, it was just insane.
Yeah.
And for you or I, or for lots of your listeners, we'd look at that through a jaundiced eye and say, oh, that must be terrible. But for the people who are there, it must be like Mardi Gras in New Orleans or Carnival in Rio. It must be a really special thing for them. And I think we should sometimes take off our hat of begrudgery and say, do you know what? There are very few countries in the world where their national day is celebrated all over the world. You have... and not even celebrate or even acknowledge or recognise. July the 4th, everyone knows that's the American Day of Independence. The Bastille Day, July the 12th.
Yeah, not so much though.
But like, you know, you'd be able to hazard a guess.
Yes.
But ask most people when Germany's Day or Spain's Day or Italy's Day or even George's Day, Andrew's Day or David's Day. Sure, nobody's a rasher.
No.
But everyone knows about Paddy's Day, and I think that's a good thing.
And myself and Tom travelled in on the Lewis, and we got off at Stephen's Green and then at the top of Grafton Street, because you know Grafton Street sort of goes down on...
Yeah.
So you can see, and there was just a sea of green hats.
Yeah.
It looked amazing.
And you know what? And this is the thing. I kind of, when I was a kid, and I'm sure it was the same when you were a kid, like the Paddy's Day parades were kind of rubbish. You'd see a few people going up and down the road in Massey Ferguson tractors and trailers and throwing sweets at the kids. Whereas nowadays, everyone dresses up. And I can't do that anymore.
But I wish, if
I could change one thing about my life, Ray, I would have been the man who got in on the green top hat business a few years ago. Because there was tens of thousands of them sold in the run of Paddy's Day. And those green shamrock suits.
Yes.
I mean, that's a
And then I saw
spinner.
a number of guys that, whatever way it was, it looked like you were given, or a leprechaun was giving you a piggyback.
I saw a few of those guys as well. Like, and you know what? You know, it's easy to be sarky about these things, and it's easy to say, oh, that's just terribly cheesy. But sure, it's a bit of crack,
and there's no harm.
People
are smiling. Now, sort of from St. Patrick's Day parades to pineapples.
It was a busy weekend for me.
What were you doing with a pineapple?
Well, some of your listeners will have noticed in recent weeks that the internet blew up with this hashtag pineapple hack. And there was a short video appeared online over recent days which showed a new way to eat pineapples. And it turned out that we've all been eating pineapples wrong for hundreds of years, because traditionally what you do with a pineapple is you cut it into slices and you take the hard, rusky rind off it and you eat it. And that's how we've been doing it all my life, all your life, all your listeners' lives. Because that's how you eat pineapples. But this little clip came out on YouTube, on the internet, on various social media platforms, and it showed a way that you would take out the top off a pineapple and then you could slowly peel off the individual segments.
Nearly like Jenga.
A little bit like Jenga. And then what you'd be left with would be perfectly edible segments of pineapple, and then the core at the centre would be untouched. So rather than just accepting the internet at face value, we in the Irish Times decided to try and test this out.
Right.
So I went off and I bought myself a pineapple. I decapitated it, as you do, and then I tried to pick apart the pineapple as the video had shown me that I could easily do. And I swear to God, I have never been so disappointed in all my life. And I realised that, you know what, Ray, sometimes the internet doesn't tell the truth. I know it's a shock, right? But couldn't eat the pineapple like that. And effectively, I spent about 8 minutes tearing apart a piece of fruit with my hands. It was sticky, it was gooey, there was pineapple juice all over the place.
Could it be because of its state of ripeness?
Well, a couple of people suggested that now. And then some people said, ah, no, you're using the wrong pineapple. You need to be using a snack, I think it's a snack pineapple or some kind of small pineapple. And then other people got on to me and said, no, that pineapple needs to be a lot riper. That's not what the internet told me. It just said, here's a pineapple, you just peel off the chunks and you're good to go. And it wasn't like that at all. And it was just really messy and very disappointing.
Oh, so
I know.
You're back to the old way.
But you know, I don't really like pineapple that much anyway, you know, so yeah. I'm easy enough.
There used to be a really posh thing. I remember seeing it at a do in the local officer's mess. So what they do is they take out the whole pineapple, take out the middle, the core, right? Then chop it up, put it back in and use the pineapple as a container, but mix the pineapple chunks with fresh cream. And then return the top to it and put it into the middle of the table.
That's very fancy.
That'll impress your friends. It's sort of retro. Retro 80s.
Retro, yeah, it's very retro.
Right, okay. PriceWatch at RTE.ie. Now, my mother had her mobile phone stolen in July of 2018. She cancelled the phone number in the Vodafone shop in Henry Street and was told that everything would be sorted. But since January, she's been receiving solicitor's letters from Vodafone saying that she owes them €316 in outstanding bills. She's very upset about this and is not getting any sleep over it. She has always paid her bills on time. She's 79 years old and doesn't need this in her life at this moment. She is naturally very upset and is crying every time I visit her. I spent 3 hours on the phone to Vodafone and they refused. Refusing to budge. The rep is saying that the outstanding balance needs to be paid. The latest letter that she received states that if she doesn't pay Vodafone within 7 days, they will take her to court. I really don't know what to do. This is terrible.
Isn't it? Like I only got this last week, and it was one of those emails that just leaps off the screen at you, and you're saying, this can't be right. You cannot be harassing, well, you shouldn't be harassing anybody over something like this, but particularly for a person who's 79 years of age and is clearly very distressed about the scenario. So, like, it's just wrong. And it doesn't matter if it's Vodafone or if it doesn't matter if it's any other company. This is unacceptable behaviour. And sometimes I often think that what we're dealing with when we're dealing with big companies is we're dealing with a complete absence of humanity and common sense. Because all that would have been required here would have been somebody somewhere to look at the information before them and saying, hang on a second, like is this what one of the biggest mobile phone companies in the world, wants to be devoting our time to? And I understand that companies have to get their money back. And I understand that sometimes people leave outstanding bills and they have to have some class of zero tolerance policy. But somebody somewhere should have taken a look at the facts that were in front of them and said, do you know what? We're not going to go down this particular road. So you have a scenario whereby, and I think this is a problem in our society, because there was a time when if you missed a bill or if you owed money, you know, you would be contacted by a human being and there could be a discussion that would take place. Whereas now what seems to happen is as soon as you're in arrears of any kind with any company, they start sending out letters from debt collection agencies and they start threatening you with all sorts of things. And people are genuinely very scared about that kind of thing. Now, the reality is there's very little that any company could do to this woman in this scenario. Like this woman, had she had the wherewithal and the confidence to just say, would you go out of that? Like, it's not like she was going to end up in court. And it's not like any judge in the world would have entertained that.
But it's easier for you to say that.
It is.
A 79-year-old woman.
It's very difficult.
Who's, you know, brought up in a time when you would have been told a borrower or a lender be always pay your bills, et cetera.
Absolutely. So I'm not downplaying her upset by this, but I'm just saying you'd almost like to be able to reach these people and say, you know, don't worry about it.
Yes,
it's all hot air, not going to be a big problem. You're not going to go to court. You're not going to end up in debtor's prison. But when you actually get the letters, it's a very frightening thing and it's a very scary thing. And so she was her son was calling to the house and she was in tears and she was very upset. And this is a woman who for her entire life, for 60 years of her bill paying life, she'd never missed a payment on anything, and suddenly she's being threatened with the courts over something that, you know,
happened? Where did the bill come from?
Well, what happened is her phone was stolen.
Yes.
And she went into a Vodafone shop and she reported the theft, and she thought that the contract was then Over.
So somebody was using her phone?
No. No. So what? But apparently Vodafone don't have any record of her going into the shop right. to cancel the contract. So Vodafone kept billing her in August, September and October. So then when she went to get a new phone in October, and I'm speculating here, but it's probably, she probably wouldn't have the same, you wouldn't be using her mobile phone as much as I would say. So, you know, so she went in 3 or 4 months down the road to get a new phone from Vodafone, which was the company she'd been dealing with for a long time. And they said, oh no, you owe us €300. Uh-huh. And we're not going to give you the new phone until you pay the bill. And then it quickly escalated to the debt collectors were called in, and you know, and maybe there was solicitor's letters. Although to be perfectly honest, it seems unlikely that even Vodafone would start sending solicitor's letters to people in scenarios like this, because it would cost them money. So that's how it happened. So there was a miscommunication somewhere along the way. She went into a shop and thought she'd done what was required to cancel the contract, and you know, then she went in to start again 3 months down the road. Vodafone said, well, we've no record of that. And then when her son called and explained the situation, I think this is one of the terrible things about it, they refused to budge. Mm. Now, it was at that point that a flag should have been raised, and they should have said, you know what, somebody somewhere in the company should have had the decency and common sense to say, forget about it, doesn't matter, we'll sort it all out. Clearly there was a miscommunication. That miscommunication could have come from our listener, it could have come from the people who worked in the Vodafone shop, it could have come from Vodafone headquarters. There was a breakdown of communication. These things happen. And as I've said repeatedly on the show, it's not the fact that something bad happens, it's how you handle it after the fact that really matters. So I contacted Vodafone last Friday, and within hours they were back to me saying, terribly sorry, shouldn't have happened. We're not going to be pursuing this listener for the outstanding balance of €316. And they've apologised to her, they've been on to her, and the problem has now been resolved. So they do deserve credit. Okay. Because they didn't insist on payment, and they perhaps could have if they've no record of the cancellation of the contract, but so they've waived all the monies that are outstanding, and the couple or the woman and her son are happy enough with that.
Okay, but where is the humanity and the flexibility?
Well, this is the thing, the thing is, Vodafone are one of the better companies when it comes to customer service, from my understanding of how they operate, and they do recognise the value of empowering their staff. And I think that's the really key phrase here. It comes down to empowering your frontline staff to make decisions that are not listed in the list of 10 options on the computer when you're dealing with your customer service queries. You just need to have the ability to show a little bit of like a flexibility and decency and say, do you know what, we're going to deal with this in a different way.
The mobile phone companies have no common sense on the customer front. I recently lost my phone and had similar face-to-face in Grafton Street shop. Connor's right, I remember it being a hot day. There's your... the year, Naomi and Tala. And they all want to say St. Patrick's Day, not Paddy's Day. That annoys me.
Yeah.
It's St. Joseph's Day today, by coincidence, says Paddy. Not Patrick. Ask Connor Pope about what plan on health insurance for me. Age 52, married. I gave up health insurance in 2008. Starting again. Thanks. That's a common enough story, isn't it?
It is a common enough story. A lot of people gave up their health insurance during the
luxury.
And they couldn't give up their car insurance. They couldn't give up their house insurance because that was usually tied to their mortgages. But they could give up their health insurance. And an awful lot of people did give it up. Now, to be perfectly honest, I'd be reluctant to say to anybody, even like if you were to ask me now, what's the best plan I should be on? But what I would suggest is that the starting point for anybody looking for health insurance is go onto the Health Insurance Authority website, which is www.hia.ie, and start looking at the plans that way. It can be kind of complicated, but you know...
Health Insurance Authority.
The Health Insurance Authority.
So they're an umbrella organisation.
That's the regulator that oversees the entire health insurance sector, and it's hia.ie.
Yeah. And with regards to that lady of 79, I had the same situation with Meteor, who pursued me like Vodafone pursued her. As soon as I made a complaint to Comreg, I had no further issues. The so-called debt was cancelled. If you know you're in the right, immediately contact Comreg, says Julianne.
Yeah, and Comreg do have a role to play in these things. But to be honest, there should be a way for people to make contact with the companies directly, and for the companies to exercise a little bit of decency and common sense, as we've said already, and just to say, listen, you know, we don't think this 79-year-old woman is out to screw us for €300.
Can you tell me, have their customer care improved, as it is time for me to call them about my contract? This is AIR. You were on a few weeks ago and we got a litany of complaints about AIR after that.
We did get a huge amount of complaints. Well, they said to me that they were a long way through improving their customer care, and that was 3 or 4 weeks ago. But I'm still getting complaints about the company into the Irish Times. So I certainly have seen no sign that there's been a dramatic improvement.
We're nearly done with you now. I'll let you go after this. You please ask Conor Pope, what do you do if you stop paying a bill because the phone is non-existent? Like it has been broken for a long time and it's long gone, but the bills are still coming in the door.
You need to contact the company and you need to tell them that. But these things work two ways. If the company doesn't know that your phone is broken and that you're not using your phone, they will continue to supply you with a service, whether or not you use that service. You can only expect them to cancel the contract when you contact them to say the phone isn't working.
Okay, 2012.
Was that when the great summer was?
It was a heat wave in March. I was pregnant with my youngest daughter, says that person.
Yeah, and can we just talk about the Paddy's Day thing?
Yeah.
Because a couple of people have given out to me about calling it Paddy's Day. Just to be clear, I'm not saying Patty's Day. So it's not Patty's Day.
No, Paddy's Day.
Paddy's Day is fine.
I think people think there's a lack of respect for our national saint.
Ah, no, I mean no disrespect to St. Patrick.
Right.
And I think he'd take it
he
in the spirit to which it's extended.
St. Patrick's Day 2003 was roasting. I was pregnant, says Anne Ratoth. So
I think Anne and Ratoth is right. I think it was going back at least 15 years this now.
Right. In the wake of St. Patrick's Day and the sad symptom of Brexit, I think the Irish should campaign for and lead on establishing an annual Across Europe Day to celebrate the EU. Will you ask Conor what he think? There's so much in Europe mythology to share internationally, says Susan. So European Day. I'm sure there is one already, is there?
There is a Europe Day.
There is a Europe Day.
There is, yeah. I have no idea when it is.
No.
And do you know what? I don't think that would ever succeed because it sounds a little bit too much like organised fun. And organised fun just never works.
Conor, thanks very much. Pricewatch at RTE if you want Conor to grapple with any of your consumer issues. That's it from us. Mary Wilson's on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.
The Ray Darcy Show. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player.